His Holiness now begins Friday morning.
What is wrong with attachment? I feel I would deny my humanity if I practice non-attachment. What happens to my special love for my family?
Because I told you. Tāna tīt sāyāp chīkūm sāngī dāvā tāng dā, nyamu jīng dāvā tāng, dāvā nī.
One needs to make a difference between afflicted desire and desire.
Sāngī, tā nā tā attachment is lūdhī jāni, tā nā dī yāgū rī sāpā rō, dī kūgū tū, dī yāgū rī sāmbā tsaṁ tā pāchī yāng tā kāw rī, nīñjīm jī nyamu jīng kūm mā rō bā.
With respect to attachment, when one it's difficult to understand exactly what's meant by the English word attachment. When one feels I need such and such, I doubt that this necessarily involves an afflicted type of attachment.
This sort of is a mere recognition. This is good. I want this. This is useful. That sort of is a feeling. Generally, there are three types of feeling or zimba.
Three types of apprehension. One is an apprehension within the context of having conceived the object to inherently exist. One is an apprehension within the context of having conceived the object not to inherently exist. And then there's a mode of apprehension that is not qualified either by the objects existing inherently or not existing inherently. We have the two types. What do you say? Apprehension of objects within conceiving them to inherently exist, and apprehension that doesn't involve either conceiving them to inherently exist or not to inherently exist. And for those people, and among those who have realized non-inherent existence but have not yet completely overcome the conception of inherent existence, they would have all three types. Thus, in our own continuums, any and all types of discriminations that this is such and such and that is such and such does not necessarily involve the conception of inherent existence. Although to all of our types of consciousnesses, the objects appear as if they inherently exist, we don't necessarily agree with that appearance, conceiving them to inherently exist. But in any case, whether you call it attachment, desire, or whatever, there will be many cases of our understanding that such and such is needed without being within the conception that the object inherently exists. And such consciousnesses are conventional valid cognizers. All sentient beings have a sense of wanting happiness, or we say all sentient beings from seeing that which is pleasant have a sense of wanting happiness, and this is valid.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
마란즈 따다 따든 심지어 탐으로 디고그레스 다 탐자로 대화도 되나 삼베다 되니지 없이 딜로와 다들 불러 참아 주신 거로 봐.
It is within the context of such valid cognition that we speak about generating a love for all sentient beings, wanting all sentient beings to have happiness.
Actually, you see, that sort of feeling or desire is unbiased. You see, now, therefore, it covers all sentient beings. Now, our own limited attachment, only your own fancy, your own, you see, children's like that, that is actually, generally speaking, influenced by attachment or, how to say, ignorance or emotional. So therefore, it is, in fact, in reality, it is limited, unbiased. So that attachment is not a good thing. Attachment is not a good humanity should be good.
But when one generates this, what do you say, a reasoned form of this type of love, then one can spread this love to all of humanity.
Detachment chana, humanity should hold to Aisang. Humanity should hold to Aisang.
Thus, I doubt that if one becomes more detached, one becomes less humane, rather, one becomes more humane. Buddhist teachers seem always to be able to laugh heartily. What within Buddhism opens the way for this warm humor? It's not necessarily so that all Buddhist teachers are always laughing heartily.
You see, there was one great saint who always crying. you see, he always am thinking about the suffering nature of all sentient being, and he remained always crying. So he got name that, how to say, Don Augusta.
That he had a very gloomy face. Gloomy face.
Yeah, indeed.
What is the reason for prostration and the vast number of repetitions of refuge and so forth?
That depends because of the ground of the marble steel. So, Luma, Salapos, the masses on occasion.
When one bows down, one stretches oneself out on the ground, and since the ground is the lowest place, considered the lowest place. This helps to reduce pride. So one is, prostrating to a higher object, and to do so is assuming a lower posture. The seven branches individually act as antidotes to states in one's own continuum. And prostration acts as an antidote to pride. The giving of offerings counteracts miserliness. And the disclosure of ill deeds counteracts wrong views. This is because one is disclosing ill deeds within the context of having realized that there are effects to one's actions. And seeking the turning of the wheel of doctrine counteracts past forsaking of the doctrine, abandonment of the doctrine. It's like that. How does the conception of a self of persons arise from a conception of a self of phenomena?
Right.
As Nagarjuna said, as long as one has a misconception of the aggregates, so long does one have a, from that, a misconception of the person, the self. This is because the aggregates are the basis of designation of the person. Even the lower systems of tenets assert that the person is imputed. Even the non-prasangika schools assert that the person is imputedly existent. But they don't assert that whatever exists is necessarily imputedly existent, for they claim that some phenomena are substantially existent. They assert that the basis of any imputed existent is necessarily substantially existent. Thus, they assert that the mental and physical aggregates are substantially existent. They say this because the person must be designated in dependence upon the mental in dependence on the mental and physical aggregates, in the sense that for the person to appear as an object of the mind, first the mental and physical aggregates must appear. That's the way the non-prasangika systems assert it, whereas the prasangikas say that whatever exists is necessarily imputedly existent. However, what is to be understood by the term imputedly existent in those two systems is different, in that the first is grosser and the second is more subtle. Now the person is imputed in dependence upon a basis of imputation or basis of designation. And if one conceived the basis, independence upon which the person is imputed, if one conceived that basis, the mental physical aggregates, to be as inherently existent, then one would necessarily be drawn into considering the person, which is designated in dependence upon that basis, to be inherently existent. That's why Nagarjuna said, as long as one misconceives the aggregates, so long does one from that misconceive the person. Then one has to make so thus, in terms of the stages of their production, first one generates a conception of the inherent existence of the mental and physical aggregates, and then from that generates a conception of the person as inherently existent. But when one realizes emptiness, one realizes the emptiness of inherent existence of the person first, due to certain features of the basis of that emptiness, the person, and then realizes the emptiness, what do you say, realizes the selflessness or emptiness of phenomena. Then one a question comes with regard to this. If, well, let's see, is the realization of the non-inherent existence of the person a realization of the non-inherent existence of the mental and physical aggregates? And if it is, then it would have certainly followed that these two realizations were not separate, but were one. But if it is the case that the consciousness that realizes... And there is no way in which one consciousness can realize simultaneously both the... What do you say? That one consciousness could realize both of these. There is no
way.
But it is said that the, what do you say, that through understanding the emptiness of one thing, such as of the person, one can understand the emptiness of all phenomena. This means that one realizes the absence of inherent existence with respect to one phenomena, one can extend this to two other phenomena. Now what's being talked about here is that the one single consciousness that realizes non-inherent existence with respect to the person as its subject does not realize the emptiness of inherent existence of other phenomena as its subject, since it's not taking... If just that consciousness which realizes the emptiness of inherent existence of the person realizes the emptiness of inherent existence of the mental and physical aggregates, then it would absurdly follow that one consciousness was doing both of these realizations. However, it is said that without there is another scripture, however, that appears to contradict that, in that it says that without realizing the non-inherent existence of the aggregates, there is no way that one can get rid of the misconception of the person as inherently existent. As an answer to this, it is said that the consciousness that realizes the non-inherent existence of the person can, without depending on any other consciousness, remove all superimpositions of the conception of inherent existence with respect to the mental and physical aggregates. As an example, it is said that a consciousness that realizes the non-existence of a child of a barren woman can, without depending on any other consciousness, remove any possibility of false superimpositions of the conception of the existence of the eyes of a child of the son of a barren woman. eyes of the child, eyes of the child of a barren woman.
Yes.
As our favorite examples for from the Indian text, in the Indian text, the favorite examples for the common examples for non-existent things are the child of a barren woman, the flower of the sky, the horns of a rabbit, and the hair of a turtle.
Yeah,
so I'm thinking that maybe you wouldn't understand what was said because of the sudden use of this term, the child of a barren woman.
Until
one has, what do you say, reversed or gotten, what do you say, removed? Removed? Until one has discarded that consciousness which conceives the Until one has left behind or discarded that consciousness which misconceives the mental and physical aggregates to be inherently existent, there is no way that one can generate a wisdom consciousness that realizes the person to be without inherent existence.
That's not this one.
His special insight necessarily an intellectual logical analysis, or can it be achieved intuitively? One couldn't realize, gain special insight without using any reasoning. I mentioned the other day that when one arrives at a certain developed point, one can, through the practice of highest yoga tantra, achieve special insight through stabilizing meditation. But prior to that time, one has engaged in a great deal of analysis. But here in highest yoga tantra, there is another special technique whereby one can, without engaging analysis, have all of the force of engaging in analysis. Please give us some practical advice for distinguishing. mixing languages. Please give us some practical advice for distinguishing love from desire. Could a love of natural beauty, for instance, be free of attachment? This is pretty much the same as before. They probably understand it through the earlier answer. If the Prasangikas assert that things are without inherent existence even conventionally, then in what way do things exist in the conventional mode? Are they merely misconceptions or phantoms of the mind? How are we to avoid the extreme of nihilism? This will be explained a little later on today. An engineer who is a Buddhist recently wrote a book in which he said that a robot or a computer might have a Buddha nature. Do you agree with this?
当然，那个是 Buddha nature 是在的，所有的学校学过了。The
Buddha nature is explained in terms of living beings.
当把你讲讲什么，当然，当然，彭博嘞，Buddha nature 也少去。But
if you think of the Buddha nature as just say emptiness, then even a vase would have a Buddha nature.
嗯，校长哥。
If you could develop a computer that actually had a consciousness, then I'm not quite sure what the case would be. But otherwise, now, is it useful or possible for people of one race or tradition to follow a different tradition? Or the tradition of a different race? Need to make a difference here between between religion and culture.
See, as I usually expressed, the religion is something that belong to everybody. So there's no boundary. So now you see, main question is the suitability according to your own mental disposition. That is the main, I think, is the main factor. Then the cultural side, it is something related with your own native, you see, environment and your past, how say, generations is a heritage. So that may be different. So you see, now for example Buddhism, actually Indian religion, but that went other countries. So since the culture site is something related with Indian, so when Buddhism went different country, then the Buddhism meeting with their own culture then become, say, the Tibetan Buddhism or Chinese Buddhism or Japanese Buddhism. That means the essentially same Buddhism, yet some sort of happy marriage with the local or say cultural heritage. So it become something special for that country. So we call Tibetan Buddhism or Japanese Buddhism, Chinese Buddhism, like that. So I express, and gradually the European Buddhism as well as American Buddhism may come. So now Christian itself, actually belong to Middle East, but it's brought in Europe as well as in America, and also in Asia, in India, in the Philippines, in Japan, in everywhere, in China, even in Tibet also, there are Christian communities. So this I believe.
What need is there for meditation if freedom from ignorance comes through logical analysis? What need is there for meditation if freedom from ignorance comes through logical analysis?
That the under kasore maribu malas da singedi maribu shenyu chinjilo maribu shenyu tanya do tumindu sambe khwa chare pingya marwa da samya da kujo de shukuyo marwa.
To get rid of ignorance, it's not sufficient just to understand that the object being conceived by an ignorant consciousness actually does not exist. The mind has to undergo a transformation, a change.
pen tenzin cha pen maribul cha cha na maribul maribul kunda da maribul thangi ni che ta maribul kunda as love yundu dumde ta par ba kunda as da dumde ta ba dumde ta ba ti ta thang shen shi dumde shen da ji ben ga so de pu gen de she ti cha zang ya wo shen da de mon ne de san ba ji ni yundu dumde kun ta be zim ba ti ne ge jin na cha du ba jadi dia tenggi mereka cakap macam apa? Tapi tenggi mereka cakap juga begini tu, tapi kalau ya kuat cakap sangat juga macam, tapi yang ni yang tu kau, yang ni yang tu kau ni, tapi kumpang mana tu juga cakap juga begini tu, tapi sini juga.
Since it is the case that the ignorance that misconceives the nature of phenomena, the ignorance that misconceives things as inherently existent is of two types: artificial or learned from systems of tenets, from mistaken systems of tenets, or innate. What inborn and unlearned, what is unlearned from systems. Since it is of these two different varieties, although the first variety can be overcome by understanding the non-inherent existence of things well, the second one, the innate form of it, cannot. Therefore, one has to meditate again and again and again on the profound meaning of emptiness in order to overcome the innate version. So,
that there is another one, another one. That concerns the transcendental mind, isn't it?
Yesterday we were speaking about the altruistic intention to become enlightened. Now we're up to the description of training the mind by way of equalizing and switching self and other.
As
Shantideva says, everyone equally wants happiness and doesn't want suffering. He says that, for instance, just as every part of your body is equally to be protected from suffering, so all sentient beings are to be protected from suffering.
Rang cha sha yin du me min du ya ge du me le cha ko ya ge jum zhen de rang ni du me min de ba de jum zhen de ma da xian min de wa.
The reason why one wants to keep from suffering is merely one's own thought that one does want to be free from suffering. There's no other reason.
Rang ge teng do da de du me 가서 다 동네 차고야 좀 전 사고 싶다 좀 좋아. 랑게 랑게 대바지 알아. 다 동네 민들은 대바지 대바 다 들어와.
It is because one has the wish to be free from suffering that one feels this. There's no other greater reason.
다 대심자 탐색된 거 알아.
And each and every sentient being has this.
다 진짜 인도잖아. 다 대달이야 먼저 개발 가야 했었나?
So then what is the difference between self and other? There's a great difference in number between self and other.
So you see, you, whatever you are, important person, you just, as I mentioned earlier, the other day, you see, you are just a only single man. Now for example, it's my own case, I'm just a humble Buddhist monk, that's all. So you see, the other people, this is infinite. Even you see, you may not count the other planets. Even this world alone, you see, the others is limit. So how to say infinite? Several billions. What? Really? So therefore, you see. Now, if we think the which is more important, the majority, benefit of majority and the benefit of single minority. If we think that line, then there is no argument, there is no question to argue. that the benefit of the majority is much more important than the single yourself. So you see, Tangkatwa.
So now, as reason showing that everyone equally doesn't want suffering,
that other
sentient beings from their own side just do not want suffering. Equally want happiness. For instance, if there were 10 destitute people, you couldn't single out one of them who was more deserving of getting rid of suffering and getting happiness. All of them equally want happiness. And all of them equally do not want suffering. Among the 10 ill persons, all of them equally have illness, thus there one can't cite any reason why one among them should be kind of...
No, I mean you, the biased, you see, just select few out of 10. You see, there's no reason, all 10, you see, equally suffer by illness and wanting and get rid of that suffering. Now from our side, from your own side. Semjan tamjalo ran le ya pan ta gwe ran de dao yi ba chan zi be yin na nga ya pan ta yo re maung ba le ne pan ta gwe yo sta de.
And then from one's own point of view, all sentient beings, in terms of their connection with oneself, have in the past helped oneself and in the future will help oneself. Thus, one can't find any reason from one's own side to be kind to some of them and to give a hard time to the others. And then also, if one considers the nature of both parties here, both have a nature of suffering, have a nature of impermanence. Once all of us have this nature of suffering, there isn't any sense in singling out certain people and giving, giving them a hard time. It's not worthwhile.
For example, a group of prisoners, who are going to, kill.
Going to be executed.
Executed. Now, while they remain in the prison, they're together, all of them are going to finish. But while they are remaining, a few more days, there's no reason to quarrel to each other. Something like that. All people in the nature of suffering, in the nature of impermanent, in nature of conquered by ignorance, and under such circumstances, we both same condition. So you see, there is no reason to fight to each other. If we are something complete pure and some other beings are impure, then there may be one reason to look down. But that is not the case. So you see, that also one reason to think equality there. Mm-hmm. Equality. Now again, you see,
We have this bias of considering some people to be enemies and some friends.
You see, if that is true, you see, enemy is always remain enemy and friends always remain friend, then there may be some reason, you see, to hate for a certain part, to love for a certain part. But again, that is not the case. As I mentioned yesterday, yesterday and the other days, you see, 가서 never never.
There's no definiteness.
So now you see conclusion. Then another thing, you see, if we hate, if we hate anger, other people, result, you see, others as well as myself, you see, no good reason, there's no good result.
Nothing comes from it, nothing helpful comes out of it, just anger.
You see, anger, they ultimately not going to harm other, but really, you see, hurt yourself. The true anger, even your good food, no taste. When you are very angry, I would say, you see, good food, you may feel irritated. Now you see your friend, your husband or your wife or your children, when you become angry, even these beautiful faces also give you irritation. Not because of these are bad, but your own attitude is something wrong. So very clear. So you see, using common brain or common sense, what is the usefulness of anger and hatred? And then, if we think of these lines, there's absolutely no reason to be angry. Now, you see, something, certainly, you see, unfortunate thing happened. Now, in order to face, you see, that problem or that tragedy, without anger, we can handle better way. So, you see, anger, the usefulness of anger is almost none. Now, as I mentioned yesterday and yesterday, in some cases, you see, the immediate motivation may involve anger. Now, that anger is something different.
The type of upset that comes within friendliness or within affection, and the type of upset that, what do you say, or strong words that comes within hatred are entirely different.
So you see, the anger which sometimes is the immediate cause, for the immediate cause, some anger necessary, that type of anger is this one, you see, with deep love motivation, compassion motivation. Now, because of that love, because of that, you see, so much concern for that particular person. And the particular, particular person becomes stupid. Now there is no other way. You see, in order to stop that, you see, stupid kasulta, behave. Now sometimes you need a harsh word, and you see, a bit of angry. But that angry come from love, not hatred. So you see that the other angry, which due to kasulta, hatred, now that is at all, no use, right?
It has no purpose at all.
And also, you see, the reason, we human being, we always, you see, talk, the human body or human being is higher being. So the other, you see, animals, you see, small insects, small, you see, mammals, they could not think as human being can think. So you see, we have, you see, one gift thing is human brain. Now, the anger, attachment, these, even animals can also very well practice. Now, you see, the only human brain can think is judging or reasoning. So, that is a real human quality. And infinite love. You see, the animals, their own, you see, like you see, kasa.